We honor you, Father. We honor you. We worship you. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We declare your word, O God, this day. We thank you, Lord, O God, that lives have been changed, transformed, healed, delivered, set free, and made whole. We thank you for your presence. Your presence, O God, brings healing to us. It restores us. We cleave unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. As we declare this day, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call this so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for every one of you here tonight and those of you that are listening in our extension and those that are online. We thank God for every one of you today and thank God for his faithfulness. We welcome those that are here for the first time. Blessed be the name of the living God, and those that are here after not being here for the longest time. God is doing a new thing in his family. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory be to God. I'm not sure if the communion has been put in place, but this is the first Sunday, so we normally will have communion tonight. If that's not available, we'd like the ushers to please make them available. Well, tonight, I'm going to be sharing the word of the Lord from a passage that is very familiar to you and I. It's a passage that I've preached from many times, and I really don't like repeating messages, but what I've learned through the years is when I think I'm going to be preaching from the same passage and saying the same things, that ends up not being the same thing at all. As it was this morning, I was preaching from Mark 11, but that's, I've never preached it that way before. So when the Lord kept on pushing me to this particular passage of Scripture, I had to chill and relax and say, okay, God, if that's where you want to go, I'm ready to learn something new and hear something new from this passage of Scripture today. Amen? So come with me to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter, Mark chapter 5. Starting from about verse 21, Mark 5:21. In Mark 5:21, the Bible tells us the story of Jairus. But that's not the story that I'm going to focus my attention on today, but I will start from there. It says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship onto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Basically, the word of God is saying that he just crossed over again, meaning that he was on that side before. Now, leading to this was an attack of the enemy. The Lord was ministering on one side of the Sea of Galilee, ministering to the people, and God's power was moving mightily in him and with him, and he was teaching the people, and he felt quickened to go on to the other side. And while they were going to the other side, the enemy rose up against him, seeking to destroy him. Storm rose up, while he was going there. Why? Because Jesus was crossing that sea to bring to an end or to bring about the fulfillment of a prophetic word. That prophetic word is found in the book of Genesis chapter 30. In Genesis chapter 30, excuse me, and verse 11, we read Genesis 30, 11. The Bible says, "And Leah said, a troop cometh. And she called his name Gad. A troop cometh." So here's a young man that is born to Leah, a wife of Jacob, and she called this child's name Gad. And his name meant a troop cometh. That was his name. Then in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 19, the word of God says, God, this is Jacob blessing his children, and he says, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. A troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. It is like this virus that is ravaging the earth right now. Down south, they are afraid that there might be close to 200,000 people dying within the next week or two. That's a troop overcoming people. I pray and I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that it will not be so, but that people will come to repentance and that the salvation of God will be made manifest in the lives of the sons of the living God, there and here and everywhere else. God, a troop shall overcome him. His name is tied to the troop. But now he says, you're going to be overcome by a troop. Now, what troop? Let's go back to Genesis 30, 11 again, quickly, and we'll come to 49 and verse 19. Genesis 30, 11. And Leah said, a troop cometh. A troop cometh. She names this child and says, a troop is coming. A troop is coming. Let's look at the next verse briefly. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bore Jacob a second son. So we see in the passage, the statement is just made, and it continues. Why are we left hanging? What troop is coming? What is Leah seeing? Sometimes your future can be seen. Something about you, something about your name, something about your future, something that is not really good. But the end of the story is this: but you shall overcome at the end. When the story is all told and said, you will overcome. I thank God for that word today, that God has made you and I more than conquerors. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. A troop may be coming, but at the end, we overcome. We win. Hallelujah. We win. No matter what the crisis, no matter what the problem, no matter what the situation, at the end of the story, when the dust settles, we are at the top. We are head and not tail, above only and not beneath. The story shall end well. Somebody shout hallelujah. So here's Jesus. He is crossing the sea, and the turmoil, the confusion is happening. The enemy is trying to stop him. But he crosses over to bring about the manifestation of this word. At the end, you will overcome. Over at that end was a man who was crazed. He was demonized. He is the man of Gadara. Gadara, the Gadarene. Sounds like the name, doesn't it? But this was prophesied many years before. And there he was in the cemetery. Nobody could tame him. And he's busy cutting himself. The Bible tells us there was just one evil spirit in him. But when Jesus allowed him to speak, he said, "My name is Legion." And all of a sudden, the tenses changed, and it was no longer one demon. There were multitude, thousands of demons. And when Jesus finally addressed those demonic spirits, they went into a pig and they drowned themselves. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, listen now, listen, and listen well. What you say can either be a blessing or be a curse to you. When Jesus asked for the name of that man of Gadara, he said, "My name is Legion. I am a legion." And from that very moment, one evil spirit became multitudes. What you say about COVID is going to determine what happens in our society. We've got to change our language. That's not burying our head in the sand. That's about us not making things worse. Because what we say can increase the danger and the disaster because of what we talk about, what we say. And I want you to begin to change the words that come out of your mouth. I don't want the devil to run rampant. There are things that God can do for you. God may have allowed certain things, but we are not about to make it worse. That's why the church and the voice of men and women of God is so necessary in these days, so that we can hear the right words and speak the right words and put a halt to that which is contrary to the will of God for our lives. You say, "Well, Pastor, where did you get all this from? I don't say it." Let me read it to you, and I'm going to get to Jairus. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5, I want you to watch these tenses, "And they came over onto the other side of the sea." It goes over to the other side of the sea, "into the country of the Gadarenes." Gadarenes. "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean" — what? "An unclean spirit." That's singular. "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do? What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean" — what? Spirit, singular. "And he asked him" — watch this now — "and he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many,'" singular, "'to a multitude. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave." and the unclean spirits, not unclean spirit, unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed and see him that was possessed and see him that was possessed with the devil. It was always one. Until it was allowed to speak. That's why we must not allow the devil to say one word where we are. I remember so many years ago, I was busy shaving when the Lord asked me a very simple question. He said, how many demons were in that man of Gadara? I said, thousands. He said, no. I said, what do you mean, no? There are thousands. He said, one. Preceding that statement, he asked me, he told me this. He said, son, I want to tell you something. There are certain things I did to show you what not to do. I did certain things just to show you what not to do. I did certain things wrong to show you what not to do. And I said, what could you have done? You're perfect, Lord. And then he asked me that question. And then he gave me the answer, and I went and I saw it for myself. Wow. He said, never let the devil speak. Don't give him access to speak. Because when he speaks, he puts into force that which he wants to bring to pass. And today, I get to speak. You get to speak. You say, what are we going to say? We are going to say, there is a name that is above every other name. It is the name Jesus Christ. And COVID-19, you bow to that name. I got to preach to the living. They are not going to die until they hear the gospel of the kingdom and have the opportunity to make a choice on whether they're going to follow the living God or follow the words of darkness. My neighborhood is not going to hell. Not until they hear the words of the Most High God and make the choice on whether they're going to believe God or not. A legion, generally was made up of about 626 men. No, 6,000 rather, 6,826 men. 6,100 of them were just men walking, and about 726 will be people that ride in horses that formed a legion. So these were close to 7,000 demons inside one man, operating through one man. Do you know what kind of capacity you've got inside here? You've got the capacity to have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The creator of the universe can come and live inside here. You've got capacity. You've got a lot of space inside there. Now, I used to watch a movie years and years ago called Doctor Who. He had his telephone booth, and he steps inside the telephone booth, and it's huge metropolis or whatever it is that was inside that place. Now that's you. You look so small, but your capacity is so big. There's greatness inside every one of us. And the enemy is coming and has been harassing and been trying to stop you and I. But God has spoken. At the end, you and I get overcome. Yes. Hallelujah. Here was that man of Gadara. He was terrorized. But there was something about him that would not allow him to be chained. When it shackled him, he broke it. He broke it. He caught himself. And he bled. Dead men don't bleed. Let me say it again. Dead men don't bleed. Every time he caught himself, there was a reminder, I'm alive. I'm alive. I say to you today, you are alive when you have the living God living inside of you. It doesn't matter what the enemy has been trying to do. You will come out of this. Jesus is coming across. Jesus came across that sea and fulfilled the prophetic word of Jacob thousands of years before. He came. He said, you know what? I have an assignment. He left everything he was doing just to cross the sea, solve that problem, and he crossed back. And when he came back, it was then that he met Jairus. He met Jairus. Jairus had a daughter that was dying. She was 12 years old. Jairus, that name means whom God enlightens. The one whom God enlightens. My prayer tonight is this, that you will be enlightened in your spirit. God will cause the lights to come on. And that you will see clearly that God is faithful. He is not forgetting you. He has not forgotten you. He's come across to solve one problem, and now he goes across to solve another problem. And this time, it was a religious leader whose life is being changed. I declare today in the name of Jesus Christ that there will be religious leaders, people who are practicing religious practices but do not know the power of God, that will turn around and that will come and bow themselves in true humility before the living God. He said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. Jairus was a key leader. He had to humble himself to come to Jesus, so that he can get an answer for his dying daughter. God has a plan and a purpose for you today. Embrace it. Embrace it. Humble yourself. And he will bring restoration to you. Jairus, comes to the Lord. The Bible says he was a ruler of the synagogue. Verse 22. It says, when he saw him, Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly. He besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. My daughter lies at the point of death. Wow. That's where we find ourselves today. There are sons, there are daughters, husbands, wives, lying at the point of death. He says, I pray thee come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Praise the Lord. Come, lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. I stretch these hands right now, like the Lord will stretch his hand. I stretch his hand, and I go behind those homes, those doors. I go behind into those ICUs. I go by the authority of the Word of God into that emergency. I go even now by the authority of the Word of God to those dark places where people have been left alone to die. I declare by the authority of the Word of God, live and not die in Jesus' mighty name. Come, lay your hands on her, and she shall live. Praise the Lord. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. They were pushing on him. They thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. The multitude were thronging him. They were thronging him. And they got nothing. They were just doing what everybody else was doing. Got nothing. Didn't get healed. But here comes this woman who had the issue of blood. One individual that was not supposed to be with the rest of the group, the rest of society, because she had an issue of blood. She was unclean. The Bible says she came in the press, in the group behind. In other words, she was following Jesus. Where Jesus was, she came to. Following his steps, pushing her way through just to get to where he was, to grab a hold of his garment. And the word for thronged is now changed, because the Bible says touched his garment, and the word is the word haptomahi, which is not just touched, it means to fasten, to cling to grab a hold of. If I can just grab a hold of and attach myself to his garment, I'm going to be healed. This was not casual. This was very intentional. She grabbed a hold and attached herself, even though her physical hands were away from the Lord Jesus Christ, because he asked the question, who touched me? Who haptomahi me? Who clung to me? Who is it that locked in and I stayed locked in? You see, when we lock into God, it doesn't matter where we are, we're still locked in. And people that are locked in act like people that are locked in. If you are locked into God, nothing separates you from him. Not space, not time, not people, nothing separates you from Him. You are locked in. You are locked in your worship, in your praise. You are locked in your giving. And I want to thank God for everyone who's been locked in to the Word of God and to the purposes of God, who faithfully, even though we are not here in the sanctuary together, who have been sending in their tithes and their offerings, faithfully doing what they used to do. That's a sign of somebody who's locked in. People are locked in. Stay locked in. Hallelujah. I thank God for every one of them, because by their actions, they are showing that they are locked in. They're fastened into the garment of the Lord. Haptomai. And when she did that, the Bible says, she believed. She says in verse 28, he says, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I shall be sozo, is a Greek word. Completely whole. And straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up. The root of the problem was resolved. It was stopped. It had taken 12 years of trying, doing everything she could, spending all of her resources, and she got no results. But in one moment, when she attached herself to the one who had the power to solve her problem was solved. Did she believe when she went to those doctors that she could be healed? I believe so. Who goes to a doctor and doesn't believe that they are going to find something and solve the problem? She believed. Believing is not the issue. Believing on the right person is the issue. Have faith in God. Have God's kind of faith. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. That's what the Word of God says. She'd place her faith in doctors, but they didn't have the answer. They couldn't solve her problem. They didn't have a solution for her. They promised her all kinds of things, but all of their promises ended up as a dud, produced nothing. But this time was going to be different. If I can just cling, fasten myself to his garment, I don't need to talk to him. I just need to make a point of contact and hold on to that, because there's going to be healing in his wings. If I can just touch his talit, I'm going to be healed. I know it. But woman, you can't. You can't go there. Why? You've got an issue of blood. You're going to be defiling everybody. So, today I'm getting my healing. I'm not going to let nobody stop me from getting it. No edicts, no laws, no nothing is going to stop me from getting what I need to get. I'm going to get my miracle today. Today's my day for my miracle. I'm going to attach myself to this garment and I'm going to be healed. And so she did. And when she did, the Word of God says, she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Hallelujah. She was healed of what? That plague. If you make the connection with the Lord Jesus Christ today, I assure you, you will be healed of this plague. You will be healed of this plague. You will be healed of this plague right now by the authority of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so she was. She was healed of the plague. And the Bible says, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, that virtue had gone out of him. And that word is the word dunamis. That power, the ability of God, that the abundance of God, dunamis, the inherent power of faith had gone out of him. He stopped. And he says, who haptomai me? Who touched me? Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, come on. Come on. What are you talking about? Who touched you? Everybody's busy touching you. He said, who haptomai me? Who is it that has clung onto me? And the disciples say, well, what are you talking about? Don't you see that there are people thronging you? Thronging you. Suntu libo. No, I'm saying haptomai. But everybody else is suntu libo. They are thronging. You don't get nothing by being part of the crowd, thronging. You only receive when you make the connection. Power flows when you make the connection. It is spring. We are soon going to experience it here in Winnipeg. And we're going to start planting. And we have hoses that we attach to taps outside our buildings to water our gardens. Hanging your garden hose on the tap will not get the water to your plants. That's thronging. It's all over the tap, but nothing is happening. But attach it. Lock it in. Open that tap and water is going to flow. The same thing needs to happen for you and I. We need to connect with God. No connection, no power flow. When the filament in your bulb is broken, even though it's still there, because there's no continuity. You have no power and no light. You can have a cord like this here, but if I unplug it, even though this monitor is supposed to be functional, it will cease to be functional because there's no connection. You can live in the atmosphere where God is moving and receive nothing if you don't make a connection. Got to be connected. Are you connected? Or are you playing church? In church, outside church? Just one of the gang. I used to say before I got saved, I'm a Christian because my father is a Christian, and God aptly answered me from Ezekiel 18 verse 4. As the soul of the Father is mine, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. In other words, God was saying, I don't have any grandkids. I only have sons. I don't have grandsons. I only have daughters. I don't have granddaughters. You have to have a personal relationship connected directly to me. My question to you today is this: are you directly connected? Because until you directly stay connected, you lose out. You will not experience the power of God. This woman experienced the power of God. She had caught in. Jairus was a person Jesus was going to minister to, his daughter. But this woman caught in and received his miracle. And just then, word came from the servants of Jairus. They said, don't bother the master. Don't bother him. Your daughter is dead. It's too late. Too late. Verse 35, Mark 5:35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. In other words, stay connected. Because fear disconnects you. Let me say it again. Fear disconnects you from what God wants to do. Faith will keep you connected. Fear will disconnect you. And Jesus simply said to him, don't go there. Stay in faith. You asked me to come to your house to raise your daughter. I'm coming to your house to raise up your daughter. Why would Jesus say to him, be not afraid, only believe? Because if he was afraid, Jesus will not be able to raise up the daughter. God, even God, cannot help you when you are in fear. Let me say it again. God, even God, cannot help you when you are living in fear. You got to stay in faith. Jesus says, be not afraid, only believe. Then went to his house. When he got to his house, the people were mocking. He sent everybody out. Because nothing good happens in the atmosphere of fear. There's no power release in the atmosphere of fear. You can only receive your miracle if you stay in faith. And tonight, I want to challenge you to do that. The Bible says they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, take out the father and mother of the damsel, them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. Verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand. My prayer today is that God will take you by the hand. By faith, I believe that these hands are his hands making contact with yours. And he said, Talita kumi, which is being, present tense, continuous, interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. I say, Sonny, arise. I say, damsel, arise. I say to you, in the name of Jesus, it is time to rise up from the place of death and defeat and begin to experience the new life that God gives abundantly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Aren't you glad that the word of the Lord to you and I today is that? The Bible says, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Everybody astonished, shocked. How did this happen? I believe it's in Luke that he said, give her something to eat, something to drink. And tonight, we are going to end this gathering doing exactly that. As people that have been raised from the dead. What is 12? 12 is the number of government. The governance of your life shall be activated by the Spirit of the Word of the Living God. Your life in the hands of the Most High God, restored, made every withhold. I speak that into you. And I declared that Jesus is Lord in your life. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, before we share in communion together, I want you to make that decision right now. Refuse to be limited by the lies of the enemy that say that you cannot make it. Because I come here to announce to you, you will make it. You will come through. You will experience the victory of the living God. Satan cannot have his way in your life. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Victory is yours in him because you cleave unto the author and the finisher of your faith. Repeat these words with me if you want to ask Jesus into your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, I receive your word. I believe your love for me. And today, I turn my life over to you. You are God. You have loved me with an everlasting love. Today, I don't just throng you. I cleave to you. I fasten to you. I lock into you. And I receive the life that flows from you to me. Lord Jesus, forgive me every sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make me a new creation. Let the old pass away. And let all things become new in my life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, just the other day, I believe it was on Friday, we were here during the prayer meeting, and somebody came off the street, and their purpose was simple. I want to have Jesus in my life. And out there in the hallways, our head usher led him to the Lord and notified me, and I went and I prayed with him for his deliverance. This young man from the street, there he was, shaking under the power of God. Nobody touched him, but there was a surge of power that was addressing the issues of his life and flipping him around from the place of death to life. I believe the same thing is happening for you right now. Wherever you are, God is flicking the switch, and darkness is being expelled from your life, and the glorious light of the living God is shining in you. You are now lit. You are now the light of God. You are now a new person. The old is passed away, and all things have become new. The glory of God is resting upon you, and God's healing power is flowing through your spirit, through your soul, through your body, and your life is forever changed to the glory of the Most High God. I call you blessed and highly favored. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, before we share in communion together, I want to encourage you to honor God once again with your giving, with your tithe, with your offerings. Honor God with the vows that you've made. God has placed something in your hand. Exercise your faith by trusting God with your giving right now. As you do so, I am deeply convinced that God will honor His word to you. He says when we honor Him with our tithes and our offerings, that He will open the windows of heaven and pour out His blessings upon us to such an extent that we will not have room enough to store it. There's an abundance that comes from God. God will do the extraordinary in your life today. Honor Him with your giving. If you're giving, you can do it right here, right now. You can do it by an e-transfer to info@MikeZenoMinistries.com. It will come through the Mike Zeno Ministries, and it will be placed into the Glory and Peace account. We will have a Glory and Peace account ready for you to be able to use also. Hopefully by the next few days, we should be able to include another email address that you can use to send those special offerings. You can also do it by pushing on that donate button on the website, and you'll be able to give through that donate button, and it will come directly to the ministry and will go straight into the account that it's supposed to go into. Whatever it is that you do, faithfully Stay connected. Your offerings, whether it's coming through the Mike Zeno Ministries email, info@MikeZenoMinistries, it's going to go straight into the church account. No, it's not going to go anywhere else. It's just going to go straight because we have automatic deposit. As soon as it shows, it goes straight into the account. And so we are believing God to do something extraordinary with all of our lives as we continue walking in faith before the Lord. I'm going to take my communion. Take yours. This is the body of the Lord. It's broken for us, for our redemption, for our healing and our deliverance. As you take of this body and you eat today, God will manifest His glory, manifest His will and His word in you and through you. You are the blessed of the Lord, highly favored of the Lord. The grace of God is operational, functional in your life right now. Take and eat. In Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the remission of sins. The word of God says that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was bestowed upon Him. And by the stripes that He bore, we are healed. As you take off this cup, I believe that every area will be addressed in your life and in mine. Wherever it is that you hurt, God is going to bring His healing balm and restore you and bring wholeness into every aspect. Do not fret and do not worry about your finances. Do not fret or worry about your health. Do not fret or worry about your family. Do not fret or worry about your business. Do not fret or worry about your employment. Do not fret or worry about anything that concerns you. God is on your side, and if God be for you, and if God be for me, who and what can be against me? God has enabled you and I to be more than conquerors. As we take of this cup, the cup of covenant, we can be certain and sure of this reality, that the God who knows all things and sees all things will do the right thing by you and by me. Take off this cup and drink. And be healed, restored, made whole, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I bless you all in that name that's above every other name. And I declare that the grace of God sufficient abound towards you. May His peace garrison your heart. And may you know His favor all of your days. Amen. Praise God. Well, let me say at this point that starting this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, this is Passion Week, we are going to have special meetings. And when we have special meetings, we generally start at 6:30 with praise and worship, and then we continue on to the preaching of the word. I'd like for you to be here with us, whether online or in person. We have a limitation of how many people we can have in the sanctuary. But we will have a full house over here and a full house on our adjacent building, and we'll be ministering to you. Do like us now on YouTube, on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube rather, and like us on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, all the platforms where you can find us, and we will experience the goodness of God together. Stay encouraged, and remember, don't give words to the enemy. Don't live in fear. Live in faith. Be blessed in the highly favored of the Lord, and good night. Love you.